So we've been talking for a number of weeks about love, and we've been sidetracked with a few things and whatnot, but I always keep bringing it back to love, which I think that we need to understand that love is God's acceptance. His unconditional love is something that comes without qualification. It's something that comes not because we've earned it, but because he decided to give it, because he made a choice for you. Because he decides to release it over you and release it for you on your behalf. And so it's something that we get to apprehend. It's something that we get to get in on his plan. So this morning I just wanted to just kind of set the thing with the stage with that. But if you will, turn with me to Hebrews 11. I know this is a very familiar passage for most of us. But there's something that happens just in the reading of the word, in the setting of a stage, that God is in charge of. Now, Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this: now faith is. If we did nothing else but just declare that today, we've accomplished something. Now faith is. If we only just declared that and then we began to live by that, we began to stand with that in agreement with that, now faith is, you know how much your life could change? Now faith is. If we look at that and realize that this is God's charge to us, now faith is. Because he's already provided everything that's necessary for us to operate in faith. He's provided everything for us to operate with him. Now faith is. Right there, it's all you need. We can go home. Hallelujah. So now faith is. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. In other words, that which is hoped for is the foundation. That which is hoped for becomes a foundation for that which becomes faith. That which is hoped for is what God puts in your heart to begin to desire, because that beginning of that desire that is called hope, that is something that begins to come and find itself in fruition in faith. And faith then leads to the evidence being made manifest. It leads to the evidence being made visible to the eye. But it all starts with something that happens inside of our heart. It starts with something that happens inside of our knower, or something that happens inside of our understanding. Because as we allow hope to come, then faith has a place to habitate. Faith has a place to join in. And now as we do so, then that begins to result in evidence being seen in our life. Sometimes we kind of get things a little backwards, and every time that happens, the Lord has to come and share with us and keep us focused in on the right direction. And so he said this to me. He said, I choose to be accessible anytime you will turn to me. Why do you doubt? Is because you look to the circumstance and the world around you for evidence. Faith is not born out of external evidence, but it comes from an internal hope that has grown into a conviction. You search for external evidence because it's easier to control and easier to find validation in. I won't look at anybody. This is just about me. He says, my child, be assured and I will answer your faith, for I see well beyond your five senses. And that really is so evident. But we fail to live by it. We are so used to apprehending what's around us by our five senses that we forget that this faith that God has given us is far greater than the five senses. My wisdom and knowledge have no limits, and neither does my desire to be with you, to bless you. Indeed, it is sobering to know the God of all creation wants to spend time with you, is personally interested in you. But it is true. The sooner you can fully receive this truth, the quicker you can realize the benefit. Draw near, for I am waiting for you. My confidence, my peace is available to you. Stretch the muscles of your faith, for I am and will be with you. Believe in me, for I believe in you. See, now something that we don't often think about is the fact that he believes in us. That he established faith because he withstood in faith that we would receive it. That he established this place of love because he had the understanding that at some point we could actually join in on it. Positioning your heart in faith will smooth out the radical swings of your mind, for faith creates stability. Let my faith and my desire lift you higher. Let it bring you closer to me, and the release of my power, my glory, you will see. Come running to me. See, God wants to speak into each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. He wants to release an understanding to each and every one of us. That starts by us receiving what he's given to us. It starts by us walking in agreement with him, this agreement that's called faith. As we do so, we can begin to understand what he's putting out before us. When we begin to do that, we can do what they say in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, if you'll turn with me there. I know this is not new to you, but there will be things in this that are new to you. But we always want to set a foundation. I'm going to read from 1 5 and 2 Corinthians 5. Now, he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Now, we hear that said a lot, but most of the time when we hear it said, it's being said in reference to, well, we walk by faith and not by sight because we're dealing with something in our life and we need to get through. But see, there's something more that the Lord wanted us to understand about that. He said, because when we walk by faith and not by sight, what is he talking about? The subject matter is eternal. He's talking about walking in by faith. In other words, we're walking by faith. We're walking in the realities of our kingdom inheritance, the realities of heaven in this life right now, not just in the next. Walking by faith is a matter of obtaining and looking to the realities of heaven, the realities of walking a life based in what eternity is rather than this momentary thing that we have in front of us. Okay, that's a whole lot better thought than what a reaction I got. He wants us to look, when we walk by faith, we're walking in the revelation and the understanding of what heaven is. But we're applying it while we're here in the earth. We're walking in that revelation of just who God is. We're walking in the revelation of the peace that is available to us in heaven. We're walking in the revelation of the confidence that is available to us in heaven. Those things that are part of our, would be a part of our heavenly experience, we're beginning to appropriate them by faith into our daily walk and our daily existence. So we're no longer subject to just the normal physical laws of this earth, but we're now making ourselves subject to the laws that apply in heaven. One of the results of walking by faith and not by sight is then that, for example, you can enter into a moment of healing when healing is needed. because you're appropriating something that exists in heaven, for sickness does not exist in heaven. So now you, as you walk by faith, you're able to stand in that reality of what is available to you in heaven, but you're bringing it here to this earth. It's more than just getting out of our current circumstances to walk by faith. It's actually living in the thing that comes next. Living in eternity instead of just in this moment. When we live in eternity instead of just this moment, it gives us a new purpose for today. There's a thing that's revealed in faith. That's something that happens when, because what happens is that vision will begin to fuel faith. We've talked about vision for last week, I believe it was. And so what happens is vision now begins to fuel faith. Vision begins to set the stage for faith to come and act upon. What does that do? That brings us to a place where we have an eternal purpose rather than just trying to get by today. When faith is fueled by vision, it begins to allow you to see what the circumstance won't let you see. The circumstance is going to describe for you something that's far less than what God intends for us to have. But God says, I'm here, and I want to reveal my faith. I want to reveal who I am. I want to reveal your purpose, and you reveal your call. And as I begin to reveal your purpose and your call, as I begin to reveal who I've called you to be, where I've called you to go, then I can begin to set forth a stage. And now I'm allowing you not just to walk haphazardly, but I'm causing you to walk with intention, to be purposeful. See, because vision will cause you to be purposeful instead of haphazard. Vision will cause you to be intentional about where you're going. You have to have vision. Vision establishes the plan, the schematic for where you're going. In construction, there must be a plan. There has to be a plan. Well, that's plan. Starts with a vision. When we built this prayer room over here, it started with a vision, and the vision began to dictate what the plan looked like, and the plan then began to dictate what we actually did. And a door appeared over here on this side, the door appeared on the other side, and another door went away, and yet a third door was added. Because the schematic, the plan, began to be revealed. Vision was set. As the vision was set, then it gave something for faith to begin to attach itself to. It gave something for agreement to be able to come to. And now we could come to agreement so that multiple people began to look and have an expectation for something that eventually became this prayer room. We have to attach ourselves by the vision. It allows us to see where we're going. But see, we have to recognize that the vision is only there. The vision without faith doesn't bring forth manifestation. Vision is there to enable us a place to attach our faith. Something that LaRue said last week, and I think that was at a Tuesday meeting, so I want to say it for this group, was that he said, guard your compass. For it's the most valuable thing that you have. Guard your compass. For it's the most valuable thing that you have. Because the compass determines where you're going to go. Well, the compass determines the direction that you head off in. When you're heading off in the direction that the Lord has spoken, when you're heading off in the direction of faith, then you're going to arrive at a destiny that faith is already describing to you through the vision. Vision will allow us to be moving towards something. When we're moving towards faith, we're not just moving away from something like our pain. We're moving towards something in a direction that is now being established by our Father. One more thing on the vision. Vision will establish you at the top of the mountain. I want to say it this way. We all experience mountains and valleys in our walk with God, mountains and valleys in our understanding, mountains and valleys basically just even in our personal everyday life. But what happens is vision is what you see when you're on top of the mountain. You see where you're going. You see where you're going. In other words, basically, you see from a distance. And when you see from a distance, that allows you to take advantage of some things that other people don't see. It allows you to have a compass for where you're going and allows you to arrive at a destination that is profitable to you. I'll give you an example. In 1994, I was introduced to the internet. 1994, no one knew what the internet was yet. But I was shown from a city of Boston, I was watching somebody riding a bicycle in L.A. And I said, this is something that's going to change the world. I saw something. I saw a destiny that we had not, that society had not arrived yet. I saw something that we didn't even have truly the technology to release yet on any kind of scale, but I saw something. And because I saw something, we formed a company and we took advantage of something that was quite remarkable and has changed every life in here. Everyone now knows what the internet knows, is, and can be. Everyone now understands the power of the internet to change life and to bring things about. But see, at that moment, no one else saw it yet. But the vision was established because we were at the top of the mountain. When you see it by vision, now then that allowed me to come back into Houston. When I got back to Houston, I met up with a friend of mine who also had an experience with him, and we saw it together, and we saw what it could mean, and we formed a company. Sometimes it's setting a pace for you to see something that's good. Sometimes it also sets a place for you to see something that's bad and avoid it. There were how many people lost thousands and thousands of dollars, of, in some cases billions of dollars that were lost in the tech crunch, bubble crunch. Because, see, I know people who lost their entire life savings in that. But I could see it. What I couldn't see was why the bubble existed in the first place. But I could see that it was a bubble. I could see that it was all air, that there was nothing out there, that they were actually dealing in things that didn't make sense. But there was such an excitement that the excitement just fueled the growth, and it fueled the growth, and the growth itself was all that was being fueled, and it was all being fueled by air. If I could have just predicted how long that would last, I could have made a lot of money. But I couldn't, the hard part was for me, was I could see the air. I couldn't see the other part of it. But it allowed me to avoid losing, as you know, some of my friends did, thousands and thousands of dollars. So letting the vision speak to you gives a place for faith to have an anchor. It gives place for faith to begin to operate, and so that you can come in and operate together with one another and come into one accord with each other and with God. Ephesians 2 and 8. So we see that faith is fueled by vision. And we saw, but I didn't give you all the scriptures for it, but in that the just shall walk by faith, and that's actually recorded in Romans 1 and 7, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10 and 38, that the just shall walk by faith. God is wanting to make sure that we understand that it's faith that is pleasing to Him, and it's actually one of the few scriptures that is repeated four times in the Word. It's also repeated in Habakkuk 2:4, I believe it is. So basically, the just shall walk by faith. This walk of faith is an appropriation of what God is already doing. In other words, it's when we begin to walk by faith, we're getting in on His plan. We're getting in on our eternal destiny when we walk by faith. There's something that happens when we begin to walk by faith, and it just says right here in Ephesians 2, verse 8, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith that is not of yourselves, but is the gift of God." It's the gift of God. In other words, what he's saying is that grace activates your faith. Grace will activate your faith. Grace is available to all of us, but faith is what puts it to work for you. Your faith puts it to work for you. Because grace can be available, but if we don't take advantage of it, then it does no effect. It is faith that begins to put it into effect for your life. Grace activates faith. Grace is activated by faith. Faith will cause grace to come into your life and to habitate, come and sit down with you. When you walk by faith, now then you're doing something that is pleasing to the Lord. When the Lord is pleased, there is something that happens called grace being released in our life. Favor is released. Purpose is released. Hallelujah. But see, because something we haven't understood, if you will turn with me to Psalm 146. We haven't understood just the depth of what's available to us by faith. I'm going to just back up to in Psalm 146, verse 5. "How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and who keeps faith forever." Who keeps faith forever. Who keeps faith. That's the word shamar. It's the same word that he used in the garden when he said, "You shall keep the garden." When he spoke and gave a charge to Adam to keep the garden, he's saying, "I keep faith. I'll guard over your faith." Do you realize that there's a generational inheritance that's available to you? We speak oftentimes of generational curses, but there's a generational inheritance available to you of faith. The faith that your ancestors stepped out on, you can receive it because he's watching over it forever. It's never gone away. It's never disappeared. It's still available. If it didn't have its perfect work and its perfect fruition, that perfect fruition is available to you if you'll come into agreement with God for it. That ought to be good news to somebody. Because there's a release that happens when we begin to come into agreement with who God is and what He's saying. When we come into agreement for this thing that's been made available, He says, "I'm going to watch over it for generation after generation after generation. I'm going to watch over it forever." If you'll notice in the King James, it actually says that He watches over our trust. Why? Because trust and faith are the same thing, and the same word there is being rendered in slightly different text. But what he's wanting to understand, when we come into agreement with God, when we come into agreement with God, that is truth. You know, the best way to cure deception? Come into faith. Hopelessness has to flee away when you come into faith. Deception has to flee away when you come into faith. Why? Because faith is based in truth, God's truth. When you come into agreement with what God said, then there's deception of the enemy. God's not saying something that's deception. So discouragement and hopelessness have to leave. Condemnation has to leave. Why? Because you step out in faith. When you're stepping out in faith, then those things are broken off. The discouragement of the enemy only comes because he's trying to get you away from the place of faith. Love, because that's who God is, infuses faith. He infuses faith. He's watching over your faith for now and forever. He's called the Holy Spirit to come alongside you, not just now, not just today, not just tomorrow, but for all eternity. And guess what? Holy Spirit's watching over your word for you. He's watching over your faith for you. He's preparing a place for you to walk in this faith. He's preparing a place for you to receive in faith. Why am I so excited about this? Why? Because I recognize the truth of this. I recognize the truth of this because this week I had an uncharacteristic thing that had kind of come over me, and I didn't know exactly what it was, but I was not myself. Things got to me that normally don't get to me. And then I just recognized that, hey, if I just step in faith. And just by faith, I just stepped in with God. And by faith, as soon as I stepped in with God, all that broke off. Bam. I no longer had that oppression. I no longer had those other things that were trying to come over my thought process. Because why? When I stepped into faith, I broke agreement with it. By faith, all I had to do was step into faith. All I had to do was acknowledge, Lord, I'm stepping in with you by faith. Because, Lord, I sure don't feel like it. And when I stepped in by faith, my agreement was automatically broken with the enemy. You know, condemnation is disagreement with the enemy. Hopelessness is disagreement with the enemy. Depression is disagreement with the enemy. All those things God wants to set us free from because He didn't cause them. He didn't call them. So we step in by faith. Right now, there's someone who needs to just step in by faith. Just step in by faith. Break off the condemnation. Break off the oppression and the depression. By faith, Lord, we just come and step in with you. By faith, Lord, we receive your promise to be with you, Lord Jesus, to be with you where you are, to be with you as you are. Lord, I thank you that by faith we can receive this and walk in it, and we walk in its wholeness, we walk in its value, we walk in its purpose, we walk in the vision of it, Lord. We receive faith, and we step in by faith. We break our agreement, Father, with the condemnation. We break our agreement, Lord, with the attack and the injustices of the enemy. And we walk by faith. We step in by faith. We live in the eternal reality that's available to us by faith. We live in agreement with you and in your truth available to us by faith. Amen. Amen. Faith is an agreement with God, and it's agreement for His purpose and His plan. If you go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, I have a number of things that I think I can get it all in here. Hallelujah. First Thessalonians 5, verse 5 says, "For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. Then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. And since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation." So let us put on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. This is a place of exchange. We've talked about exchange. God is giving us a place of exchange here. He's giving us a place of exchange. But you'll notice that it reads differently than what it does in Ephesians 6 when he's listing the armor of God. The armor of God calls it the breastplate of righteousness. Why is that? Here he's calling it the breastplate of faith and love. Well, we have to recognize that out of Galatians 5, it says, faith works by love. That both of these things, love and faith, are here to protect our heart. They protect our heart from the vulnerabilities that we have before the enemy. It protects our heart. Faith and love are the things that cause us to endure till the end. It's love that causes us to see the end and to keep going towards it. When we can't truly begin to overcome until we understand the fullness of the love of God for us. When we understand the fullness of the love of God for us, we understand even just an inkling that begins to open up the way in front of us. See, I know that none of you who've ever had been married have ever had this issue, but maybe, you know, at some point in time there might could have been a little disagreement. But see, it's love that causes you to look past that. It's love that causes you to stay until the end. It's love that causes you to overcome till the end. Faith comes in concert with love. For faith works by love. Faith allows you now to see past the moment of this discussion or whatever it was to the end where you want to be. I still think the best thing that I ever understood, and it's as simple as this, was that when I met Kim, I knew she was the one I wanted to grow old with. And some of you might think that I've already accomplished that. But I was thinking much older, okay? Some might be able to check. But I had a little further vision in mind. Hallelujah. So we still have this dichotomy. We have faith and love being our breastplate. We have righteousness being our breastplate. And it's the same author. So it's not like he was confused. But he wasn't confused. Because the same author also in Romans 4 and 22 writes this. He tells us that Abraham, that his faith was accounted to him as righteousness. His faith was accounted to him as righteousness. So what are we saying? Righteousness is merely the fruit of faith and love coming together. When faith and love are put in together, they are put together, then the result is going to be righteousness. Why? Because we can't walk in the righteousness of our own. We have to walk in the righteousness which is of faith. If we could walk in the righteousness which is of our own, we never needed Christ. But the righteousness that comes through faith is the righteousness that is accounted to us. Even as it was for Abraham, it was accounted. There's a righteousness that happens that we can stand in and we can acknowledge. As we acknowledge God, then it's protecting our heart. But we have to, if we look at its components, the components of righteousness are faith and love. And it's when we stand in faith and love that our heart is protected from the things that would come to rob, steal, and destroy. The enemy wants to come and kill, steal, and destroy, but when our heart is consumed in love, when our heart is consumed with faith for who God is, there's nowhere for him to have entrance to. The breastplate didn't just protect the front, but it protected the back. It kept your heart safe from attack no matter what direction it came from. That's what he's looking to establish within us. an understanding of this love, an understanding of the place that faith has, the action of faith has over us and for us. And it also mentions here the hope of salvation. The hope is not just that someday we're going to attain. That's why he called us what? He called us sons of light in verse 5. And then verse 9 goes on to say, for it's not destined us for wrath, but it's for the attaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That we may live together with him, verse 10. Well, in other words, he's saying, this has already happened. What we're doing is rather than we're being, our hope is being infused by the evidence of our salvation within us. Our hope is being encouraged and empowered by the salvation that is in us. That's what he's saying to us. He's saying that our hope, that thing that walks and is the precursor, the lead-in to faith. See, hope leads out for faith. Hope leads out for faith. What we read at the very top, if faith is the evidence of things hoped for, hope leads out for faith. Why? Because as hope leads out for faith, faith is the thing that begins to bring it into actualization, bring it into the material world. But if it's something that needs to be materialized, it brings it into manifestation. And Proverbs 12 tells us that hope realized is a tree of life. In other words, it's a place of renewing and refreshing. When you begin to have a hope that is realized, there's something that happens in your life that is released that brings forth even more life. When you see and you have and you pray and you have a hope for something, then you begin to stand in faith for it and you see God do it in somebody's life, that brings a whole nother testimony, which brings a whole nother level of life. Every testimony releases life. Every testimony releases the power of God to be shared. A tree of life. Why did I share all this? Matthew 17 and 20 tells us that if you have faith as a mustard seed, then nothing will be impossible to you. In other words, if you have a faith, even if it's just a small speck, it's something that can grow up to take command of the whole garden, to overshadow everything else in your life. Faith will begin to overshadow every doubt, every disharmony that the enemy would try to sow. Faith will begin to have a place and it'll cause you to abide in the Lord's presence. On the reverse side, abiding in his presence will cause us to enter into faith. See, faith is built by coming into his presence. Faith is established by coming into agreement with God's truth, coming into agreement with his word, coming into agreement with his vision. His vision being planted in you is something that begins to infuse faith. Why am I saying that? Because one of the things that we've been talking about is entering into his presence by the word. Why do we do it by the word? Because as we enter into his presence by the word, by the allowing the word of God to generate that presence within us, we're exercising the muscle of our faith. We're exercising faith. There are many valid ways to come into the presence of God. You can come in to worship and enter into the presence of God, and that's a wonderful thing. You can come in to just a vision and seeing, and that's a wonderful thing. There are many ways to come into the presence of God, but the most powerful way is to allow His Word to rise up within you. As His Word begins to rise up within you, and you come into agreement with it, then it establishes you in the power of that Word. It's how we appropriate by faith. It's how we grow the muscle of faith. There are maybe easier ways to get into the presence of God, but if we'll go in by this way, what it does is it begins to prepare us for the place of faith. And it also causes us to apprehend that which we're looking for. Allowing His Word to just build within you and begin to describe to you who you are. When you come into agreement, as the Word says, you can begin to understand that you are a son of light, a daughter of light. As you understand that you are a son of light or a daughter of light, now that begins to look a little different in your thinking. We're no longer having darkness overshadow us. We're overshadowing the darkness. As we overshadow the darkness, then that's something that is released, a power and authority that is released that happens because why? The Word is rising up within us. So let's just practice it for just a moment here. So Lord Jesus, You've given us the authority, the place to come, the command to come and be with You where You are. Today we choose to be with You where You are. We choose to be with You, Lord. We choose to respond to Your urging. We choose to respond to Your Word to be with You where You are, that we may behold You, Lord. That we may behold Your glory, that we may be swept up in the glory that is around You, that we may be swept up in the light of Your glory, for You are the radiance of the Father's glory, Lord. You are the radiance of the Father's glory, and we're swept up into the radiance of that glory. We're swept up into the light and the life that is in it. We're swept up into the wholeness, Lord, that it happens as we stand in Your glory, as it happens when we stand with You, Lord, for You are the author of our salvation, the perfecter of our soul. And as we stand with You, Lord, You are the exact representation of the Father's nature, Lord, and You're upholding all things by Your Word, the power of Your Word. You're upholding our lives. You're upholding our hope. You're upholding our vision by the power of Your Word. You're upholding all things, Lord, and we step into this light with You because we're with You where You are. That we may know this love that the Father has for you. That we may know that we are loved in the same way He loved you. We're encased in this love. That we walk in the light now as You walk in the light, Lord. And as we walk in the light, Lord, we have fellowship together. And because we have this fellowship together, Lord, the blood of Jesus covers every sin. We no longer have to dwell upon those things, for we can dwell on the atmosphere of faith that is around us as we operate in the light, Lord, that surrounds You. As we operate in Your glory, in Your life. For Lord, that glory and that life, Lord, is the light of men. We look to You, Lord. We look to You, for You are the fountain of life, and all hope, all vision, Lord, comes as we and is established. All faith is established as we look to You, Lord. Truly, we can walk by faith, Lord. We choose to walk by faith, not by sight, Lord. For Your Word is describing to us a land, Lord, that we had not known before, but a land, Lord, that we find ourselves now accustomed to. that even the atmosphere of heaven begins to surround us, Lord. It begins to describe for us a whole different scenario than what we knew. Lord, we step in with you. We allow faith to describe our atmosphere. We allow faith to describe our circumstance. We allow faith to describe our destiny. We allow faith to describe the world around us, Lord. By faith, we appropriate your destiny. By faith, we appropriate a place with you, Lord. By faith, we stand in the fullness that you've given unto us, Lord. By faith, Lord, we recognize that you are, Lord, the revelation of grace and truth. Your grace and truth, they operate in us. And, Lord, it brings us into the fullness that is available in you. Because your word says, of your fullness, Lord, we have all received. So we choose to receive, to walk in this fullness. We choose to allow the fullness of God, Lord, to set a compass for us before that we may walk into. Lord, we open our heart to operate in faith, to operate in life by your word. We allow your word to be a compass, Lord. Your hope to be an anchor, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the strength that is found in your faith. The purpose, the vision that is established in your faith. Hallelujah. Lord, you are the author and the perfecter of our faith. You are the author and perfecter, Lord. In you, Lord, we are complete. And we acknowledge, Lord, this completeness. We no longer need to look to other things, Lord. We found ourselves complete in you. We no longer need the external things. We find ourselves complete in you. We find ourselves in agreement with you and your truth, Lord. We thank you. For your faithfulness, for your watching over your faith, Father. You're watching over your faith in us forever. We claim, Lord, that faith that has gone before us. We receive it today. We step out in it today. In Jesus' name. All I did was string scriptures together. 90% of what was said was just purely phrases from scripture or the whole scripture itself. You don't have to start with all that. You can start with one scripture, but begin to habitate, begin to be present with the word, begin to be present with him in that scripture. As simple as one, as any one scripture is, if you'll be present with him in it, you'll be delivered into the freedom that is available in his word. You'll be delivered into the power of faith. Faith is established. And believe me, if I can do it, any of you can do it, okay? Hallelujah. You know, in the old days, we used to say, keep the faith. But now we can say it in a new way. Keep the faith. All right? God bless you.